Well, let's come back to this news that we've been hearing in just the last few minutes. It is that the former Ulster Unionist leader, Lord Molyneux, has died aged 94. He passed away this morning. He joined the party in 1946 and went on to become one of its longest serving leaders from 1979 to 1995. The current leader of the Ulster Unionist Party, Mike Nesbitt, is with us this morning. Mike, your thoughts?
Sadness. Primarily, Stephen. I know he was 94, and you can use that old expression, he had a good innings, but still very, very sad to see him go. He was a figure who dominated a large part of the politics of the Troubles. As you said, he was a very long-serving member and leader of the party, and that long stint as leader was very important, not just for Ulster Unionism, but I think for the country. He was elected leader in 79 and he stayed in post for 16 years. And just to give that some context, in the 16 years previous to that, we had had no fewer than four leaders in Terence O'Neill, James Chichester Clark, Bran Faulkner and Harry West. So it was critical that somebody with political nous and guile, as he had, came in to stabilise the ship and indeed stabilise unionism in the country in the face of both a terrorist threat and also politics coming out of Westminster, which were extremely damaging, not least the Anglo-Irish with Maggie Thatcher signing with Gareth Fitzgerald, the Irish Taoiseach.
He saw himself as a gatekeeper for the safety of the union, didn't he?
He did, and he put an awful lot of faith in the power at Westminster. That's what made the Anglo-Irish agreement so difficult for him, and also the tactics that were deployed in opposition to the agreement after it was signed, when, if you remember, unionists were abstentionist and were boycotting meeting ministers and indeed friends. I think it was probably a tactical error in that we turned our back on some friends at Westminster and we did not profit from that. But that was very difficult for Jim Molyneux, who really believed the power of Westminster.
He also attracted Westminster personalities like Enoch Powell, for example, to the UUP.
Yes, and he was a great force, and although a lot of people look back in those times and say Ian Paisley was the dominant figure, and that may be true in terms of media appearances, but Jim Molyneux was a very fine politician. As if he had political guile, he had the mind of a man who knew how to play a game of chess, and politics at its best, chess, where you're making a move, not just for its own sake, but you can see the three or four moves and the reactions of others that will follow from what you're doing. And you're always taking that longer-term strategic view of where you want to get to as the end game, rather than the simple tactical ploy of today.
And finally, Mike, what has the Ulster Unionist Party lost here and one of its former leaders?
It's lost one of its great characters, one of its great leaders, a man who, I say, stabilised the party at a time when it was ripping itself apart, coming out of the 60s and the 70s. Held it together through the Anglo-Irish Agreement, which was seismic in terms of the shock that it rippled through unionism and was, you know, an absolutely existential threat to the future of the union. And he held us together and he gave us hope and he gave us a strategy that brings us here today.
Okay, Mike Nesbitt, thank you very much indeed. The Belfast Telegraph veteran journalist Eddie McIlwain was a close friend of Lord Molyneux. Morning to you, Eddie.
Good morning.
What are your thoughts, Eddie?
Well, it's inevitable that he was going to go because he was 94 in August. He was an incredible man. I found him, any time I sat down for a cup of tea with him, he had all those lovely stories to tell about Westminster and later on the Lords. He came across as meek and mild, but he was a tough customer.
Can you share any of those stories with us, Eddie?
Sorry?
Can you share any of those stories?
Not really at this time, because I mean, he told me stories about Enoch Powell, who was mentioned earlier. He did persuade Enoch to come over here, and he was just a lovely man. And the point is too that apart from the political side, he was devoted to his home village of Crumlin and to his church, St Catherine's. He was baptised there nearly 94 years ago.
And Eddie, I'm just reading about him here. At the end of World War II, he was among the first British troops to enter the newly liberated Belsen concentration camp in Germany.
Uh-huh. He did. did. I had a tremendous impact on him. And another point about him, that he was a beautiful tenor singer. And he was the only man singing in the choir in St. Catherine's Parish Church for many years. He sang in the choir for 80 years, believe it or not, from boyhood. And then in later years, he was the only man in the choir. And I have written stories about that, of course. And then he retired from the choir. And he still came to church, and he was in the select vestry. Just a beautiful man. And you've caught me unawares this morning. I'm going to try and write something about him now, you know. But obviously, I won't know an awful lot about his political side. But he always asked it on special occasions for the hymn "Dear Lord and Father of Mankind" to be sung, and he just devoted himself to Crumlin and to the church.
You've obviously lost a friend who you admired.
He was a friend, yes, but he was always somebody. When I needed a story, when I needed a space to fill in my column, I turned to Jim. Because he had always something to tell you. And the RAF thing there was one story he told me about how when he was a little boy, he used to come he lived in Crumlin, and he was close to RAF Aldergrove. And he always came to the boundary, and he would lie on the grass and watch the planes taking off. And that encouraged him to join the RAF. And when he was old enough, and I thought, you know, stories like that were incredible. The things he did, and then whenever he was 75, the parishioners thought so much of him that they had a special oak choir chair made for him, and he sat in that. And that was his. He sat in that every Sunday. Nobody else was allowed to sit in it. Now it's vacant.
That's a lovely story, Eddie. A very poignant story. Thank you very much indeed, sir. Okay, Eddie, thank you very much indeed. Lovely to talk to you. Lord Kilclooney joining us this morning. Good morning to you, Lord Kilclooney.
Good morning.
Good morning. And you, of course, would have worked very closely with Lord Molyneux.
Very much so, in Westminster for many years. I was there for 20 years in the House of Commons and worked with him in the Ulster Unionist Parliamentary Party.
He described himself, John, as the dull old dog of Ulster politics.
He was dull, but he was good company. He was very different from most politicians. He ate very little. He spoke very little. He always put his hand over his mouth, almost as if he was whispering to you. He was not a person who drank much, or maybe not at all. He was a quiet man of politics, but very genuine gentleman who really gave great leadership to the Ulster Unionist Party at a time when it was riven by division.
Yeah, Mike Nesbitt.
And he was very much influenced, of course, by Enid Powell, who came to join our parliamentary party at Westminster.
Mike Nesbitt was talking to us today about how he kept the Ulster Unionist Party together when Mike described it as it was ripping itself apart. What did he actually do? How did he keep it together?
Well, how did he keep it together? That's a difficult question. It was through his personality more than anything else. He was very much an integrationist. He wasn't a devolutionist. He wasn't terribly keen on the idea of an assembly or parliament being restored to Stormont. But he kept the factions together, both the devolutionist wing and the integrationist wing. And to that extent, he was a most successful politician because they could have become totally divided on that issue of devolution. But it was his personality and his clarity of thinking that was important to the Ulster Unionist Party at that time.
I'm just looking through again some of the events that unfolded over the years, Lord Kilclooney. When the DUP overtook the Ulster Unionist Party in the Assembly elections of 2003, Jim Molyneux supported calls for David Trimble's resignation?
I don't even recall that. Strangely enough, I spoke to David Trimble last week, and I said, do you ever hear anything about Jim? Because I find the Ulster Unionist Party that when people cease to be members of Parliament, they're almost forgotten about. And he said, no, he hadn't heard a word. I wrote to Jim only a couple of months ago to wish him well, wish him a happy birthday. I never got a reply, and I began to wonder, was he so badly, so low that he couldn't get a message back? And then I wrote to him a few years ago, offering to go and meet him and bring him to the airport and travel with him to Westminster. I thought he'd like a day to renew memories in Westminster. I was going to accompany him because I knew he wasn't too well. I wanted to accompany him in the entire journey on the flight and on the train down to Westminster and in Westminster for the day. But there again, that offer was not taken up.
How will you remember him, finally, Lord Kilcleany?
I remember him as a great leader, but one who was very quiet, made decisions, got on with the work, and didn't waste time, and one who cultivated good connections with politicians in all parties, in the Labour Party and, of course, in the Conservative Party, including Lady Thatcher.
OK. Lord Kilcleany, thank you very much indeed. The former Ulster Unionist Party leader, James Molyneux, has died at the age of 94. There will be more coverage on this throughout the day here on Radio Ulster.